reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. The reading is from Exodus chapter 20. After escaping from slavery, the Israelites come to Mount Sinai, where God teaches them how to live in community. The Ten Commandments proclaim that God alone is worthy of worship. Flowing from God, the life of the community flourishes when based on honesty, trust, fidelity, and respect for life, family, and property. A reading from Exodus. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord.
Will you please stand if you are able to receive the gospel? This is the gospel from John 2. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take those things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had spoken this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. A man walked into a gift shop that sold religious items. Near the cash register, he saw a display of baseball caps with WWJD printed on them. Puzzled by what the letters meant, he asked the clerk, The clerk replied that the letter stood for "What would Jesus do?" And the question was meant to inspire people to not make rash decisions, but rather to imagine what Jesus would do in the same situation. The man thought for a moment and then replied, "Well, I'm sure Jesus wouldn't pay $27.95 for any of these baseball caps." There's a tendency for people of God, whether they be Jews or Christians or other people, to want to control God, to sell God, to package God, to be able to make money off of God, to tell God what to do, to not let God be God. And that's what's going on here at the temple. Now, there was nothing, Jesus wasn't objecting really to what was going on. Well, he was, but there was nothing going on that was unrighteous according to the law in Leviticus. You had to have sacrifices of, oxen or goats or sheep for certain offerings, for forgiveness, for reconciliation offerings for the people who had less money. Doves or pigeons could be offered. Money changers. You had to have money changers because people would come in from around the Roman Empire, the diaspora of Jews, and they would have the Roman money, and the Roman money was unclean, so they had to have money changers so you could get the Hebrew a drachma, I think it was. So this was all up and good. This was good according to the law. The sacrifices in order to please God, to get forgiveness, was mediated through the temple. This was the system. So why was Jesus so upset about this? Now, Judaism started out as, we often think, right, that the Old Testament is about the law and the New Testament is about grace and forgiveness and love. But that's a false dichotomy. The Israelite people, Judaism started out with grace. God graced this people with choosing them. They were slaves. They were slaves in Egypt. And God said, "I'm going to work through this people." God did not say, "Okay, first I'm going to give you the law, and then if you obey the law, you'll become my people." It's like, no. God showed grace by choosing this people in order to be a light to the nations. And then God gave them the law through Moses. We refer to it as the Ten Commandments. And so it's like God chose these people, set them free, said, "You're going to be a light to the nations. Now, here's your deal. This is what you do to be my people, not to become my people, to be my people, because you are my people." And following the Ten Commandments and the law. As time went on, it became more of a law religion than a grace religion. All of a sudden, the temple was like, "Well, you must do this to get God's pleasure. You must do this to get God's forgiveness. You must do this. You must sacrifice." It was like, a give and get something in return, rather than acknowledging that God gives everything. It's like, okay, if you want to have peace with God, if you want to have forgiveness, if you want to have reconciliation with your neighbor, pay. Sacrifice the bull. Sacrifice the lamb. Take care of the temple. So it transitioned from a grace religion to a law religion. You give something and you get something in return, rather than saying God has given everything, so therefore we with grateful hearts share. It became a transaction religion. Now, you might think, okay, well, that's for them. Us Christians are better than that. But what happened at the time of the Reformation? The medieval church was about this transaction type thing, right? You buy indulgences and you can have forgiveness. Luther railed against that. And of course, the modern church has responded to that. But at the time, it was a corrupt church. At the time of Luther, it was a corrupt church. Asking for donations, indulgences. You buy this piece of paper, you have forgiveness of your forgiveness from God. And Luther said, and there were other Catholics like Erasmus that objected to this too. But Luther said, if the Pope has the power to forgive sins, why doesn't he just forgive all sins without any kind of payment? So there's a tendency, I think, for us to want to control God, a tendency for us to bask in our own glory and kind of forget about the sovereignty of God. That's what was going on in Jesus' time. And Jesus overturns the tables. He turns the tables over. Can you imagine what a disaster it must have been? Here they were practicing what the law prescribed. Yes, they had lost the essence of God, I think, but they were trying to practice what the law prescribed, and here Jesus comes and overturns the tables. This is would be a great Reformation gospel, too, because Luther also did that. He didn't have quite the power, but he overturned the tables too. And perhaps we today need to have our tables overturned because we have a tendency to get too much into our own glory, into what Luther said was works righteousness. What's works righteousness? In other words, you feel like you become righteous because of how good you are, how moral you are, how much you obey the Ten Commandments, how much money you give, this type of stuff. Instead of the right position before God, which is, you know, we don't deserve the grace that God gives us through Jesus Christ. So we are grateful and we live our lives in faithful stewardship. That is the attitude that everything good comes from God. We don't deserve it. We share it generously because God is so generous with us. We want to make logical God. We want to control God, put God in a box. And God is truly beyond us. It's only because of Jesus and the cross that we have access to this forgiveness, to this love, to eternal life, to heavenly life. It's only through the cross. The Apostle Paul, in today's lesson, appointed from the epistle, talks about the cross. And the Apostle Paul says this, the cross is foolishness to those who don't believe. The cross is weakness to those who don't believe, but to those of us who are the called, and he says, both Jews and Greeks, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ the power of God and Christ the wisdom of God, because he says, God's foolishness, meaning the cross, God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. God's weakness, meaning the cross, is stronger than human strength. We would rather not deal with the cross. I mean, it's kind of a shameful image. And I've talked about, you know, how in some churches they don't have crosses because, you know, it's kind of a negative image. It's what we are. It's why we are here, is because of the cross. because of the weakness and the foolishness that others saw in the cross is the power of God. The power of God to forgive. The power of God to set straight what was broken. Too much we get into controlling God. We want to control God, and we think if we just do right, if we just give enough, we will get God on our side. And that's wrong. God is already on our side, or we are on God's side, let's say that, because of Jesus Christ. Jesus does the heavy lifting for us. Jesus makes us presentable before God, before the Almighty and mysterious God. Jesus does the heavy lifting. And what we do is response. We worship, we praise God, we live lives trying to be righteous. We live lives living out the ideal, what God sees. And that is that all would be fed, all would be housed, there would be peace. This is what God wants, and this is what we work for as God's own through Jesus Christ. And we have something that feeds us along the way, something that gives us the strength to follow in the path of Jesus, and that is his very body and blood. A small piece of bread, a small sip of wine juice, to remind us that we are Christ's own. And what looks like foolishness and weakness to the world is God's strength and God's wisdom. So come and be nurtured by the wisdom and strength of God present in the cross of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, you give us everything. And we fool ourselves into thinking that we can manipulate you, that we can do this and that in order to make you obey us. Help us to follow the way of the cross, to want to obey you in everything we do. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.